This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Welcome into The Hardline, 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, and 5-9ofthefan.com, 2:03 Friday afternoon. Typically, this is a Friday football show. I think today is going to be a Friday whatever we feel like show because we have some new Game of Thrones odds that we cannot at any point in time neglect. And we do have some, I don't know if I'd consider this major baseball news, but it is certainly baseball news. The mystery team for Manny Machado and Bryce Harper has been revealed. So we will dive into all that stuff at some point here shortly. I want to open up with this, though, John, and this is a football topic. John Hadley here with us. I'm TJ Moe, former Missouri wide receiver. Matt Rocchio here as well. 2-4 today. Typically, we have been 5-7. I think it's up in the air. I do know we are 2-4 again next week. So we are live here. So your thoughts are welcome. 855-282-8255. John, here is what I wanted to open up with. And it's a little bit irritating the way the NFL has handled all of this, but especially this. This came out yesterday. Ben Watson, if you guys don't know who Ben Watson is, you need to. You should. Ben Watson has been a tight end in the NFL for, I think, 11 or 12 years. He has the respect of anyone who has ever encountered him. He is the future president of the NFLPA, I think. He is a guy that even early on in his career, you could see it play out and why guys respected him so much. There was a play when he's with the Patriots, Tom threw an interception. He sprinted down, caught a corner at the 1 yard line. This was at the goal line, their own goal line.
It wasn't just any corner either. It was Champ freaking Bailey.
There you go.
Who is honestly one of the fastest players in the last 20 years in the NFL.
Ben Watson,
undoubtedly.
Other side of the field. Sprints 100-plus yards.
Divisional
and chases
playoff
down.
Game, I think?
I don't remember when it was. I just know that like that right there fully encompasses who Ben Watson is. And that he that play gave you a lot of respect. But any social issue that's come out, he has given an opinion of understanding and empathy to where I believe you will legitimately not hear a single person ever say a negative word about Ben Watson. Would you agree, John?
I'll let you finish before I make that statement.
All right. So here is what he said. Okay. All right. I see where you're going here. He put out a statement, he said, to Commissioner Goodell. We all realize that football is an imperfect game. By the way, if you don't know, Ben Watson had it was a sickness. It was actually
appendicitis.
Thank you. Appendicitis, correct. And so he sat out, but he plays for the Saints. And so he sat out this game, but was on the sideline and saw it. So we all realize that football is an imperfect game, played, coached, and officiated by imperfect people. What occurred last Sunday in New Orleans, though, was outside of that expected and accepted norm. Your continued silence on this matter is unbecoming of the position you hold, detrimental to the integrity of the game, and disrespectful and dismissive to football fans everywhere. From the locker room to Park Avenue, accountability is what makes our league great. Lead by example. We are waiting. To this moment, we still have not heard any response from Roger Goodell officially. But I'll tell you this, and this is what is the most annoying thing about what's happening here. Adam Schefter tweeting out 2 hours ago, the NFL has officially fined Nickell Robey-Coleman $26,739 for the helmet-to-helmet that was not flagged during the NFC Championship game. So Roger Goodell refuses to talk about it. The league has only spoken to Sean Payton about it, and now Nickell Robey-Coleman. So you are admitting out loud, yes, it was obviously wrong. You've admitted it via fine. You've admitted it to Sean Payton. How can the PR in the NFL possibly be this bad every time something like this comes up?
Well, is it my time now? Are you?
It is. Yes, sir.
I just want to make sure there was no other dingling participles, chads, or anything along those lines. I don't know how the NFL could have come out with a fine prior to a statement. That's what perplexes me.
Yes.
I just don't, because in essence, by announcing the fine, you've admitted fault.
That's correct. Which they did via Sean Payton, who's not an NFL spokesman.
But, no. But the fact of the matter is, mistakes are made. I mean, see, again, I'm not one of these guys who's going to, we've been through this before. I'm not going to assume that New Orleans wins that game. I'm just not. I've been around this game far too long. I've seen far crazier things than a guy missing a 25-yard field goal at the end of a game. All it takes is a bad snap, bad handle. Somebody jumps over, gets their hand. I mean, there's just so many things that could go wrong. And we've seen that happen during this playoff season already. There are other penalties that were missed that could have altered the course of that game. There were fouls that could have given the Rams a better opportunity to score a touchdown during the course of that game. So there's not one. I'm not one of these guys who's going to ever say that one play or one call should ever be considered the difference in a game, ever. Because you played that game. You've personally witnessed crazier crap than I can conjure.
Yes, I did. When a slow white guy scored a long touchdown once.
So, I know I wasn't thinking that, but now that you bring it up, a little short, C student white guy. That, so anyhow,
I was an A student. I was gritty, coach's son. Come on,
you read about me.
I had all my free throws.
All that said, and I know it was a long preface. All that said. That was such an atrocious call and such a meaningful game that to allow 5 days to pass without anything being said by Roger Goodell. I'm not even talking about the NFL officially. I'm talking about Roger Goodell himself. Is extraordinarily, extraordinarily perplexing, bordering on sheer arrogance.
And I think that is fairly instructive of who the NFL has been. The NFL, through the Ray Rice stuff, through the Kaepernick stuff, now through this, obviously very different scopes, but the idea is that the shield is impenetrable. And they're right. The Super Bowl is still going to have 100 million people.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you're not losing respect from the players. And the statement could have been as simple as this. The NFL is aware of the call. We have spoken to the officials. We are aware that a call was missed and that there should have been multiple fouls. Although we do not believe in going back and changing the outcome of games, we will be reevaluating the rules during this offseason for to see if something can be better played. We apologize for the missed call. And you move on.
And you know, the interesting thing is, as time has gone on, individually, guys who I've seen speak over the course of the last 48 hours, the Saints have been a little bit, you can tell that the emotion has been extrapolated to a certain degree, because now you're hearing guys say, hey, it was a bad call, maybe it'll probably cost us the game, but we made mistakes ourselves, referees aren't perfect. I mean, their whole presentation is much better than, you know, we were robbed and we're going to make sure that this game is changed forever and no other fan has to go through this and, you know.
The mayor's still saying that.
We've heard
that's different.
Re-election.
It's not a member,
that's right,
you know, of the Saints organization. So we've seen.
No, I think that's true. I haven't heard anybody talking like that at all.
Right. And again, I understand the emotion, the comments of emotions at the time. I mean, because, you know, everybody looks at how much money they're paid to do their job. Not many people understand the incredible effort that goes into what they do. In fact, one of the reasons, you know, I've had guys tell me, well, you know, I think at this, I think, no. My biggest question with a lot of guys who tell me what they could have, should have, would have done is whether or not they had the inner drive to be a professional athlete. Because if anybody, as I did, sat there and watched what these athletes put their body through on a daily basis, I would venture to guess that, TJ, the vast majority of the male population in this country could not endure.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's a unique attitude because once you get out of it, this is why I always contend. Guys that like retire and come back, outside of the quarterback position is far more in your head than it is your body. This is why Joe Thomas will never come back. Joe Thomas is good enough to come back today. Once you give it up, you're done. Quarterbacks can do it. Brett Favre come back. That's not a body thing. That's a head thing. Do you want to come back? Now, you're going to take a beating, but you're not going to have to train like crazy. You're not going to have to get in this crazy shape. You're going to have to study a lot and then be willing to take a pounding on Sundays. But once you're out, that will is gone. This crazy drive to succeed, this crazy drive that whatever it takes, you can't breathe today, you can't eat today, you got to lose a little bit of weight. Get out for a year and try to come back. It ain't happening.
Right.
And I think to get to that point when you could never have stopped. So these guys, Tom Brady's 41. Tell Tom Brady to take a year off and then come back.
Right.
Tough
right.
luck. And that's the truth for most people. So these NFL guys, that I'm trying to get to my point here. These NFL guys, they start at age 7. And they've never, ever stopped. And they don't know what it's like to not feel that way. And right. to not... And you don't realize till you get out. I promise you, my first year being done playing, it felt like I had just got done with a 2-hour massage every day because my body felt good for the first time in 10 years. Every day for a year, you notice I'm not sore.
Were there any happy endings involved?
No, there still aren't, and I'm married.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah,
all
it's right. the craziest
all
thing.
Right. All right. Because I broached that topic because I completely and totally, right after the game, even the next day. I completely and totally understand
yep.
their frustration.
Right.
But and Roger Goodell, I mean, for a guy who was perceived to be a difference maker, in particular with the media, let me tell you something right now. I know a lot of the guys with the Pro Football Writers Association, I know a lot of guys in TV. There were a lot of people who thought that Goodell was going to be a spectacular commissioner because he was media friendly and incredibly articulate in dealing with the media. He's another classic case in point of how power goes to one's head, because even people who are close to him say that he's completely changed. He made a huge mistake, as he has on a couple of occasions, in failing to immediately deal with the situation.
This would be the Peter principle, yes? Rise to the level of your own incompetence.
I don't even think about Peter's. I mean, that's something that if you want to... talk about Peter principles and this, that, and the other thing. That's not me.
Reason I know about it is because Dan Hopkins said that about Barry Odom this year.
That's all I'm saying. But
he's rising to the level of his own incompetence.
I will continue to say unequivocally that at any point in time, someone wants to contest me that one call or one play made a difference in a football game, I'm going to tell you 100% wrong.
I did enjoy the exchange between you and Rammer earlier this week, though. You got through the whole thing. Rammer's like, yes, but if you change that one call, the Saints win the game. You're like, but, again, so what's your point?
There's
the way he agreed with you for like 5 minutes, and then he goes, but if Dengenger's out, the Cardinals do win the World Series.
So,
well, but see, not, but,
what's your point?
No.
It's beautiful.
No. See, there's a complete difference with that. A third out ends a game.
Mm-hmm.
A third out ends a game.
And you're right. There is a big difference between the Dankinger call and the Saints call, because, again, the Saints still have to go what would have been 12 yards. They still have to do that. And yes, it looks really easy 3 hours later when the Patriots did it, but the Saints still have to do that.
And
the difference
like
is that Dankinger calls him out, he's out, game over, wrap this baby up, let's go down market.
Like I said, the previous drive, the Rams drive down and tied it up. Even after the call, they had a chance to stop the Rams from sending it into overtime. Didn't do that. Then they get the ball first, and they're near midfield. So they're approaching opportunity.
See,
the offensive line has a major breakdown. Fowler gets through virtually untouched and creates opportunity, at which point in time it was actually a pretty athletic catch on the part of the defender who's falling backwards while continuing to track the football, which is not the easiest thing to do, TJ.
No, it's tough.
You know, and then the Rams get in a position, and then the field goal kicker has to actually, I mean, the Saints had opportunity even after the fact. Third out in a World Series game where a team's going to win four games, that ends it right there. It's definitive. There's no ands or buts. It's over with. Finito.
So,
goodbye. Sayonara.
What's your point?
My point is there was still play after the foul.
I got
in
your
football.
Point.
And you know, same,
so they're not comparable.
Same for some,
similar, not comparable.
Same for some situation where like
no, it's not.
Same,
it's not.
Same for some situation where like the feds are like on the, like the trail of some kind of match fixing scandal. We're never going to ever replay a game, but every time somebody brings up playing a game in protest or the rule, how the rules actually allow you to replay a game, I get a little excited because I know it will never happen. And because of that, all I want is for it to happen one time so that I can say 30 years down the road, man, you guys remember that one time they actually went back and replayed a freaking game?
They did that in baseball.
Story. It would be like
– they did that with a George Brett home run.
They did.
Well, they did. It's true. And exactly. I want to be alive and I want to talk about that story so that I can tell it 20 years later. Instead
only
of
19 minutes into it, rock being rock.
instead of it being just something that I want to see happen, like, you know, the Stanford band on the field. Like, crazy stuff like that doesn't happen in sports anymore. And I feel like we need every once in a while. I want crazy things to actually happen. So
we don't even show streakers anymore. Come on.
Yeah, I know. What is this weak sauce?
Is it similar to the rule where you can enter the NFL draft and play 2 years in the NFL, but come back to college?
Hadley, it's comparable. It's not similar.
Well, no, because here. No. Here's the thing. Me and most porno stars have one thing similar.
Are they porno stars or
porno stars? We have one thing that's similar, but the body build and everything else, we can't say we're comparable. The one thing, yes, we have is similar.
You got the same
everything
size bra as the girls. I'm with you.
It's like squares and rectangles, you see?
No.
Every rectangle is a square, but not every square is a rectangle.
Aha! Aha!
Sean doesn't know what he's talking about.
So when you come right down to it, the ironic thing is for an extended period of time, the NFL was looked at as being the value, as being the forerunner and communication with the media and taking care of its fans. Everything the NFL did was seemingly so superior to every other league that it made, at times, Major League Baseball and the NHL look foolish with some of their maneuvering. Now, the NFL may be the single most aloof entity in all of sports.
At some point, it catches up to you. I know people think it won't. At some point, it does. And that is not because you're just necessarily going to slide. I don't know that the NFL slides too much.
Stop me if you heard this before. There's no way this work stoppage impedes our popularity.
No, it's when other people catch up. The NBA is catching up. The NBA with popularity, and largely because of Instagram. People don't want to believe that. Instagram is where all the kids are, and the NBA owns Instagram. Right now, the NBA gets the vast majority of its young interest because they own Instagram and these 60-second clips that they're all over. I mean, everybody on the stars on Instagram have millions and millions of followers, whereas the NFL is what the NFL is. It's gambling, it's picks, it owns Sunday, it owns a day of the week. All that's a big deal. The NBA will continue to catch the NFL if this is how the NFL treats itself.
Also, the NFL needs to stop taking itself too seriously, because one of the reasons why Instagram works for the NBA. NBA players get on there and make fun of each other in ways that if they did in the NFL, we'd be hearing conversations about how you can't do that and expect not this to happen in this sport. Have some respect for people. Don't be trash talking.
Yachty did that on Instagram.
It was bad. It's baseball.
I will put it to you this way. I think it's already happened and we don't realize it.
That the NBA has caught the NFL?
Yeah.
In young people's interest?
Right. No, yeah.
They
I'm talking
sure
about
as hell
the specific niche that you're discussing.
Yeah,
With me? No, hell no.
Here's the thing, though.
Maybe not even with Rock, but guys slightly younger.
Do you think? I think the NBA.
Rock, yes.
Because of Instagram, I'm telling you.
I think
you.
The NBA became a 365-day league quicker than we all thought it was going to. I think that it caught up to the NFL in that aspect 3 or 4 or 5 years ahead of when we all thought it was going to. Like, it was coming there, but all of a sudden, boom, it's a 365-day league, you know, day-a-year league.
Once again, all of this demands explanation so that I can try and comprehend. Please give us these breakdowns in reference to when we thought it was going to, when it did, and the differential in the time span of expectation of which you note.
I would use the Pythagorean theorem.
I would say 2 years ago, the NBA is when the NBA became a 365-day-a-year league. And I would say that...
No, Rock, before that.
No.
It's a...
I'm talking about a day when every single day in the middle of the offseason, a big story was still coming out about the league. It happened 2 years ago. It wasn't happening before.
I think it happened right around when LeBron started the 2-year contracts and free agency became this way. The reason it's like that is because free agency is like that. And that's the reason the NFL is actually catching up. The NFL has never been a 365-day-a-year league. The NFL has been a 10-month or so league, and there's 2 months where there's not much and we force it. The NFL, because of free agency, is starting to get back to that.
But the fact that it was forced by every single media outlet in the country for almost a decade is the fact that the NFL was a 365-day-a-league year.
No, but that doesn't make it interesting, Rock.
Because every little story was forced to the front of every single media outlet for every day of the year, and it didn't matter if it was in the middle of the Major League Baseball playoffs or not, an NFL story was going to be put ahead of it.
All right, we're way off topic here. Let's get back to something interesting.
Because that's a topic we can deal with later, because I still contend that just as it had happened prior with Bird and Johnson, just as it had happened with Michael Jordan, this is all a LeBron thing, despite what you think. I want to see if the NBA remains this 795-hour, 24-hour day, 397 times a year league that you're referencing. What's LeBron's going? That's all for an extended period of time.
I want to ask Rock this,
you know what I'm saying?
This question later. We need, because we are going to go NBA. It's Friday, and Rock deserves a happy ending on a Friday.
You don't TJ, watch it. Watch that. Just
John
usage.
Brought it up.
Okay.
It's this.
John knows what it means.
You think on this, don't it?
But it's just cool. Just let it go.
He just throws.
We have no
he
idea.
He throws
where we're
these
going.
Comments out here. We should just. You know what we should do? We should.
I didn't say I was going
to
give
we
it.
We should, before the show, come up with an Urban Dictionary term for us to throw out during the show that we know TJ isn't going to understand, just to see if he casually throws
just
it out later.
See if white boy catches on.
That's right. So here is the question that I want you to sit on. I want to hear your answer right now. The Golden State starting five against either one of the NBA All-Star teams. Either one. And I know, obviously, the Warriors are largely made up of one.
There are two bits of the one.
Yeah. Either one. I want you Warriors versus them. And I actually think that is a much, much, much better debate than it.
Yeah,
and we're going to discuss it after the break.
Here we are. Right. So, I don't know. I've not been to. So, Raymer was on earlier. He probably told everybody about Royal Banks, as you should be there.
Why shouldn't you tell them about it some more? That's my thought.
Well, I gotta talk to the boss about that. I don't make decisions around here. That's why.
One of my favorite topics is Royal Banks, the home loan expert, Anheuser-Busch, Schnucks,
Hot Shots,
Design Air. I could go down a list, appliance discounters, of incredibly, incredibly terrific sponsors they were fortunate to have at this station, and they were fortunate enough to introduce our listeners to, because it will make their lives that much the better.
Well, I will tell you about Royal Banks. Royal Banks is super easy to access. You can call them 314-212-1500. You can go on the website. That's what the millennials do, John, royalbanksofmo.com, which I think is a pretty easy way to do things. Or you could go, like the old people you do, 11 neighborhood locations. That is what I would go check out. If I were you, full mobile banking would be the way to go. That's what they have. You can go check out, do everything online. I have not been to the bank in many, many, many years now because I take a picture of my checks. That stuff is pretty easy. You can open up and get anything you need from Royal Banks. I can assure you they are also a full commercial lending department. Royal Banks is a key player, by the way, in the financing of the Blues' new practice facility. So there you go. Pretty easy stuff. And you can also get that home equity line of credit. I believe Bob Ramsey has that right now. With Royal Banks, the home equity line of credit, you can pay for all your holiday plans that we just had. I think that's what Raymer did. Check it out. Easy stuff. Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and equal housing lender. That is Royal Banks. We're going to go to break. We are going to talk a little of NBA, and it's a Friday, and you guys are already on Highway 40 because I heard Melissa Marr screaming about the packed highway on Highway 40 to John Hadley a little earlier. So I know you guys are out there listening, and you can hear some NBA talk, and you can like it. It's a hard line.